Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shift Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hi there, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 29th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you valuable information so that you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We'll be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. Today, we got some feedback from our last two shows, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. So our guest is unable to join us due to some travel complications, and we're going to go into part three of Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. I did get a lot of questions, and so I'll just briefly review one and two. We talked a little bit about what your thoughts are at the unconscious and conscious level, that thoughts are electrical, magnetic, energetic. It has lots of peptides and hormones associated with them, molecules of emotion, and all different ways of communicating throughout mind-body. You can have qualities of positive thoughts or negative thoughts, and in last week's session, we talked a lot about what Bruce Lipton brings to us. We talked about sympathetic words such as always, never, and you, and parasympathetic words, which are sometimes, once in a while, and I. We did talk about Einstein's matter is energy times the speed of light squared, so energy equals matter times the speed of light squared. Today, we'll expand on that equation just a little bit and let you know the importance of learning something new every day. Because if you always think what you always thought, you always get what you always got. So if you want to change how things are going in your mind and in your brain, you need to bring some new information in, some new thoughts, and change some meanings. So today we're going to focus a little bit more on the energetics of communication and thoughts, as well as what's important to have in your thought process, consciously or unconsciously, being aware of them or not being aware of them. So the quote for today comes from Nelson Mandela, and I thought this was really important because you can create your own prison with your thoughts, and you're the one who can break you out of your prison. But let's look at what Nelson Mandela has to say about prison. As I walked out the door towards my freedom, I knew that if I did not leave behind all the anger, hatred, and bitterness, that I would still be in prison. If he did not leave behind all the anger, hatred, and bitterness, he would still be in prison. What does that have to do with your thoughts? Well, your thoughts can imprison you, or they can set you free. And we may think that it's too hard to change our thoughts, we're not aware of our thoughts, akin to the four self-healing skills. This is really important for changing thoughts and working with thoughts. The brain is a water hog. So if you don't have enough water on board, your brain gets stressed and it starts thinking thoughts that are associated with your sympathetic nervous system, which is high survival. If you're not hydrating enough, your brain gets thirsty, and when it gets thirsty, you have your cranky pants on your brain. Your brain needs lots of water. You're about 80 to 85% water throughout your body, and the brain takes most of that. It's almost like you need water in your radiator system to go through and cool your engine. Well, you need water in your brain to keep the inflammation in check and to keep things rolling along smoothly, operating at a state of optimal precision and efficiency. The next thing you need is awareness. If you're not fully aware of what's going on in your conscious mind, you're not even close to becoming aware of what's going on in your subconscious mind. And a lot of your thoughts never come to your conscious mind as a thought. You have different feelings and emotions that you feel throughout mind-body, and that's information as well. And the last self-healing skill is being in the present moment. This is where you can consciously begin to change things. And I'll tell you one of the reasons that is. I'm going to work from Paul Pearsall's book a little bit, as well as Bruce's The Biology of Belief. But Paul Pearsall's book is called The Heart's Code. And I really like the information that Paul has to share with us. In the first chapter, he talks about the brain just never shuts up. It just never stops. It's on and on and on and on, because basically if it stops, you're dead. So, or stop for any length of time, you're dead. However, your brain defaults to your reptilian brainstem. Remember, we talked about the reptilian brainstem being located back in the hind brain, or the lower part of the brain, right above your spinal cord. And that reptilian brainstem we have in common with the reptiles. And because we have it in common with the reptiles, it is highly programmable, but not necessarily able to conscious thought. So it is reactive. It works on stimulus response. So if you think of Pavlov's dogs, where Pavlov gave a dog some food, rang a bell, the dog salivated. Eventually, all he had to do was ring the bell, and the dog salivated, even if there was no food present. That's part of the habituation of your nervous system and part of the function of the reptilian brainstem. Because in order to survive, primary function of your reptilian brainstem, in order to survive, you need to be on red alert constantly, according to your reptilian brainstem. And the reptilian brainstem is also exemplified by, if you're driving a car and something jumps in front of you, you don't have to consciously think. Your foot moves from the direction of the reptilian brainstem off the gas, on the brakes. Only later the conscious thought comes into being. I'll touch on this a little bit more when we talk about all thoughts are second thoughts. Meanwhile, your reptilian brainstem is constantly scanning your environment. Am I safe? What's going on? It's helping you to maintain this constant state of alert. And it does have different levels of vigilance, but it's always vigilant. When you're trying to sleep, a lot of times sleep apnea is the fact that the brain just kind of shuts down for a little bit, activity stops until that reptilian brainstem goes, oh, wake them up, make sure they take a breath, and then you're awakened, with high levels of cortisol and stress hormones in your body, because for a while you stopped breathing and stopped functioning normally. So the functions of this reptilian brainstem: staying alive, doing, seeking, striving. Focus is on your survival. One of the things that the reptilian brainstem does is it resists deep meditation. It resists the quieting of the brain, because it equates the quieting of the brain to a life-threatening situation. To it, when the brain gets quiet, quiet to this reptilian brainstem, and the brain gets really, really quiet, and you start being aware of your thoughts and thinking each thought separately and being in the present moment, that's a life-threatening situation because it means that it's supposed to relax its vigilance and allow you to move into the parasympathetic nervous system or allow you to rest. That's not what it wants you to do. It wants you to maintain this hyper-alert, red alert, danger Will Robinson state of being. This is where it kills the host to keep it alive, because your body isn't designed to be hypervigilant in a constant state of alert and assigning threat to every thought you have, whether it's conscious or unconscious. Now, I touched earlier on all thoughts, our second thoughts. Well, most of your conscious thoughts don't arrive as a conscious thought. They're either habituated. Remember, 80% of our thoughts are habituated and about 60% of those are negative. Now you're beginning to understand why that is, because the negative thoughts keep you hypervigilant and aware of the threat. Constant threat, constant threat, constant threat. Reptilian brainstem and most of your brain isn't a contemplative feeling system. Your rational thinking comes after your reaction, not as a result, not responsiveness, active as a result of your reaction. So all of your thoughts, when you are consciously aware of them, come to you kind of complete. You don't structure them. They come in as a full thought, and they run constantly, constantly, constantly. What is the quality of your thoughts? We've talked about this before. The quality of your thoughts is the quality of your life. So if your thoughts are negative and based on survival or even self-abusive, we'll touch on that in just a minute too, even self-abusive, if you say, oh, you're no good, what happens then? But we'll get back to that. But all of your thoughts are second thoughts. And a thought held long enough becomes a belief. And a belief shapes your behavior. So when we come back to the title of this, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, I find it extremely helpful to understand what constitutes the thoughts. Where do they come from? Why are they so repetitive? What's happening in my brain? What's happening in my body? And Paul Pearsall brings in an added dimension. So not only is it electrical, magnetic, energetic, molecules of emotion, hormones, peptides, all of those types of things, but he also talks about it as a vital force, or an L for life energy. And he says, but these don't come from your brain. These come from your heart. So the L energy, these vital force, they're non-local. They're influenced by observers. So people who have tried to test these and check these out and all of those types of things, they are influenced, influencing the L energy, even by their observation. So it's trying to trap water in a net. It just doesn't very well. So one of the things that Paul Pearsall talks about is use your heart to detect what's going on. Use your heart and use that L energy, because your thoughts are transferable and so is your energy. So hold on just a second and we'll come back right after this break.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms
free report, you can begin relieving your stress. Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Just remember that the audio is not available right now. Hopefully, it will become available in the very near future. So we were talking about L, or life energy, coming out of your heart. And I may not be exactly accurate on this, but it seems to me that I have read somewhere that there is an enzyme that's produced when the heart is experiencing a loving thought or a loving emotion. And so they call that energy or life energy. Anyway, one of the things that I work with clients and people in my programs and things like that is that we tend to take things personally when somebody says something to us. And then we say, they made me feel, or they changed how I was feeling, or toxic Tammy came in again and my whole day was shot, all of those types of things. Well, thoughts are transferable, and now that we're studying this L energy, we're understanding that thoughts may be carried through the energetic field of a person because this energy is non-local, and it can be influenced by observers. So the observers who are studying this and researching it do see it. It is measurable, and it is influenced by observers. So one of the things I remind my clients is what comes out of a person's mouth is what's going on in their mind or their brain, which is either a habit and survival, or their mind from their heart, which is new, exciting, thriving. So you can tell whether or not a person is using that reptilian brain stem and repeating thought after thought after thought that's habituated. And it's what's going on in their mind and their body, not what's going on in yours. And they're trying to transfer that emotion, negative or positive, to you so that their outside world matches their inside world. And this is so true in so many different ways. I've read stories about donor recipients who have the memories of the donor. There's a very famous case where a 10-year-old heart recipient identified the killer of her donor in dreams and in a dream state, and accurately identified him to a sketch artist enough that they were able to catch the person who murdered her donor. People sometimes like food, different foods, after being the recipient of a transplant of some kind. So not only are thoughts transferable, but memories and beliefs and cellular history are also transferable, as is the L energy. So I talked about changing Einstein's formula just slightly. And again, this comes from Paul Pearsall. He says it's E equals M equals I. And E is energy, or that L force. M is matter, and I is information. So if you never fully understood the depth of learn something new, this helps me bring it into stronger focus than ever before. Because if I keep working from the matter and energy side of it, and I don't bring in new energy in the form of information or new energy in the form of energy, or I don't bring in new matter in the form of maybe food or sound or whatever, things don't change. I stay really stuck. We've also talked about the amygdala being your meaning-making gland. It's in your brain. It's up there. But it is constantly scanning and working in harmony with your reptilian brainstem. And it is stamping danger, danger, danger out of habit on most of your experiences. So we tend to think of a new experience as being scary rather than exciting. Or we think of new information as being, I'll never learn this, I'm too dumb, and putting ourselves in fear where learning is harder. Instead of putting ourselves into love where learning is easier. Can't be in both states at the same time. So you can't be in learning and in protection or fear at the same time. So shifting between the activity of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system actually helps you. So Paul suggests this, and I really like this idea. He says, let's do a thinking or a brain bypass. The heart really does help us to find new meanings. Well, I thought about this for a while before I did the radio show today, because sometimes we can think a thought and we realize what we're thinking and we don't like it and we say cancel, cancel, and we try to think another thought. And I use the word try there very deliberately. Or we might change a word out from never to once in a while. And we might do some of these really wonderful things. But the core belief that's holding some of those thoughts in place of the world is not a safe place to be will sit and transform your newly created meanings or thoughts or beliefs back to what they were so that you stay safe. Remember that reptilian brainstem resists deep meditation. It resists high levels of parasympathetic behavior and activity because it figures out that if you're not fully aware of the tiger in the corner that's waiting to jump on you, you will die. So it's keeping you sympathetic to save your life, to help you survive. But surviving is not thriving. So what you want to begin to do is do a thinking or a brain bypass. Let's stop depending so much on the amygdala and come back into the heart. Now, I've read, too, where the toroidal field or the energetic field of the heart is 5 times larger than any other field in the body. And, again, we know energy is transferable. So when you begin to think positive thoughts or you go deep into your heart to get a new meaning for something, this is a good exercise for forgiveness, for instance. If you're trying to think your way through to forgiveness, it doesn't work because, remember, the thinking brain is not a contemplative feeling system. It is a thinking system. And all the logic and rationale in the world will not move you into forgiveness if your heart isn't in it. So as you begin to become more experienced with heart-centered, heart-based, feelings, thinking, and emotional state of being, the more habituated that becomes, and instead of seeing the glass half full or the glass half empty, you come into a place of, what can I do with this glass differently? It doesn't have to be half full or half empty. Those are habits. And I read something somewhere not too long ago that says, well, if the glass is half full, fill it to the brim with more wine. Then the problem is solved. I'm not sure where that sits, but it sits with my sense of humor, which, again, laughter is so wonderful. It does take you out of the thinking brain. It can change the energy of everyone around you. It can shift you out of that thinking amygdala, reptilian brainstem, this sequencing system that just keeps you in constant fear and protection and not living your life to the fullest and simply surviving, into a place of open responsiveness. New meanings can abound. New choices come into your state of being. New emotions are experienced. And laughter truly is the best medicine in this instance. So, if you want to change your meaning, instead of struggling hard with the thinking part of your brain, let's move into the heart. Let's get some of that L energy, that vital force or love energy or whatever people are calling it. Get it engaged and have it work for you. Remember, it's the heart is designed to detect and help you change your life from surviving to thriving. So, as we move along, I'd like to end with a quote from Paul Pearsall. Get you out of the prison of your thinking. Get you out of the prison of your beliefs. Start you thinking in new ways. Change the energy and the emotion and the information of what's running in mind-body to that that is influenced highly by this L energy or this life or love energy. So, if you want to know how people are feeling, well, Paul Pearsall tells us that laughter is the heart's public address system, and he heartily endorses laughter. He healed himself from stage 4 cancer with laughter. He is wonderful in so many different ways, and I would highly recommend that you do read his book, The Heart's Code. So, we're near the end of the show. Unfortunately, we've only got a couple of minutes left. What's my favorite success quote? Well, never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. And a living to me equates with working hard, struggle, all of those negative beliefs and thoughts. Making a life means that if you do something you love when you work, you'll never work a day in your life. What's a tool that I can use every day, one that I would hate to live without? One of the things that I use every day is I get quiet and I ask my reptilian brainstem to quiet down, that I'm absolutely safe. I move into a quiet, meditative place. I take the events of the day and move into my heart. And I ask my heart to help me bring in new meaning, loving meaning, expansive meaning, so that I can truly change my thoughts at their very core that are my beliefs. What did I do for fun? Well, I went with my grandson to the river, and again, we threw rocks in the river. I looked at pictures of my daughter in the shower. I had a great time talking with my son and daughter-in-law after the shower. And it was just really a wonderful week on so many different levels. I'd like to thank everyone who has signed up for my free reports. That's all for today's show. I encourage you to email your questions or your comments in at info@makingshiftshappen. And add to the speed round. Ask me different questions. I will bring them in, as I've shown you, with the content of the shows, following the questions. Because a lot of the questions were, well, what if you just can't change your thoughts? This is another way to do it. Put your hand over your heart, belly breathe, quiet the reptilian brainstem, and ask your heart what else is possible. So if you haven't done so already, consider leaving us a review. It helps us to let other people discover this show, and we'll get better seen in iTunes and on Stitcher. Remember, thoughts are transferable. Let's transfer the good ones and leave the bad ones in the past. Until next week, have a great week. Thank you so much for listening.